Wonderful presence of the Lord already in this place. We're going to be turning to the book of John chapter 14 and verse number 14. While you're turning there, a couple of things. We have a guest with us here tonight, at least one that we have the slip for, and that is A. Jewel, and I believe from Brazil. Is that right, A. Jewel? Where is A. Jewel? Sitting right over here from Brazil. Am I thinking right there? And we just had Brother Hal with us Sunday, and he is over all of our foreign missions, and we had several conversations. In fact, one of them was that we sort of made an agreement that me and him's going to go back to Brazil. We love fishing on the Amazon, and we're going to go do a conference out there this first part of next year and bring another minister with us. We always have a wonderful time when we go to Brazil. Wonderful time. So thank you for coming. Spoke to Pastor Simon today, the young brother that came out of the church here that has started a work just north of us. They had great revival this last weekend. They had 17 receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. He's a fine young man. He believes in this beautiful, wonderful, apostolic, biblical doctrine. And God has blessed him to actually sort of bring two churches together. And now he's trying to curve them in the right direction. I tell you what, receiving the Holy Ghost is definitely in the right direction. Yeah. Praise God. You can't even have truth without the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it's the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth. So we're going to be reading from John chapter 14 and verse number 14. And we're going to launch off. Tonight will be the last night that we speak on the subject of the name. Well, in the little series that we're doing, of course. We'll preach on the name probably every time we get in the pulpit, but on the series. And next month is November, and we know that our main holiday in November is Thanksgiving. And so we are going to dedicate the month of November to studying about giving and what it really means to give of ourselves, give to God, give to our family, and to the world, to the lost, to our neighbors, and we just want God to bless us mightily. John 14 and 14. If you shall ask, this is a little hot. This is a little hot. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything, and everybody say in my name, I will do it. Now that is a powerful promise. That's a powerful promise. And it is a promise that we can hold to and cleave to. We learned some things last week that attach itself to that promise, though, that keeps us from asking crazy stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, God doesn't want you to ask crazy stuff. Now, I'm not talking about crazy faith. Crazy faith's okay. You can believe God, but I'm just talking about crazy stuff. So the Lord gives us guidelines how to ask in his name so that we achieve the desired results. So let's pray. Ask the Lord to use the preacher tonight and to touch our heart and our minds and minister in this place here this evening. Father, we love you. We magnify your name, and we need you tonight. God, I feel such a solemn, strong move of the Spirit. I believe that you've come to speak to us in the Holy Ghost. I know that you have come to deliver your word into our hearts, that it might cultivate there and change the way we think. Change the way we act. Change everything about us, God. My prayer tonight, Lord, is that you will continue to work upon this wonderful assembly of people, that we will become kingdom-minded in everything that we do, and that we will work towards the kingdom. Lord, because your return for your church is soon, help us, God, not only to make ourselves ready, but help us to reach others, that others might be ready as well. And everybody say amen. Say, in the name of Jesus. Lord bless you. You may be seated. So we talked a little bit Sunday and Wednesday before, or one of those days. I know we had speakers in between, but and speaking about what it means to ask in His name. And we dealt with some other things as well that we just simply do in the name of Jesus. And we're going to talk about a couple of those here tonight. But we found out that when the Lord says, ask anything in my name and I will do it, we found out that when we do a study on that and we attach other scriptures to it, that what it finally concludes to be is that when we pray and ask in His will, when we get in the will of God and we begin to work and to walk and to live in the will of God, then when we get on our knees, our mind has been changed, our heart has been changed, our desires, our ambitions, our wants, our goals in life have been changed, and they've been molded and shaped into the seeking of the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves, when we're praying, that our prayers aren't as selfish as they used to be, or our prayers are more kingdom-minded because the Holy Ghost begins to lead us in that way. The Lord went on to say that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So when we abide in Him, we learn His purpose. We learn His desires. We learn His wants. And when we abide in Him, we separate ourselves from the world and we begin to desire the things of God. And then He said, also, if my word abides in you. So when His word abides in us, we have His knowledge. And when we have His knowledge, He teaches us and shows us what He wants us to pray for. He went on to say that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But He says, whatsoever you ask in prayer, you must believe. And James tells us that when we believe, yes, but we cannot ask amiss, or to ask a lust upon ourselves in our own flesh. And whatsoever we ask, the word goes on to say, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. So we see, as we walk down this path of asking what ye will, it is strongly and narrowly pointing us in His will. And finally, James ends it up this way. He says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, how many of you know that a lot of times the Lord hears you, but He just doesn't answer the way you want? He answered, it's just not what you wanted. But it was the right thing. And it was your prayer that brought the answer to pass. So we need to make sure we pray and we give it to God and we leave it in the hands of God and we trust God. And if we know we're praying in His will and we believe Him and we desire the things He desires and we pray for the kingdom of God, so when we do pray and things don't necessarily end up the way we would like them to be, we're okay. Why? Because we know we're still in the will of God. And that is what ultimately matters. That is what matters. And so we've learned that we don't only ask in His name, but we give and we receive in His name. And we learn some things about that, that if we'll learn to give in His name, we won't get the big head about it. And if we'll learn to receive in His name, we will give the glory to whom glory belongs, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And if we learn to give in His name and we learn to receive in His name, then we will be amazed what God will give us so that we can give others. So the word of the Lord continues, and tonight we're going to launch into something that is very, very important, and that is we gather. Everybody say we gather. Say we come together. So we gather in His name. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I, He says, there am I in the midst of them. When you come together in My name, I am going to come into your midst. Friends, listen. Being of the apostolic or the doctrine of the apostles and the teachings of the Word of God, it is a blessed thing. That's why you can go other places and they've gathered, but you don't feel God. You can even go to some places, religious places, or places that claim to be there in His name, but they haven't really gathered in His name because they don't preach in His name. They don't teach in His name. They don't baptize in His name. My God, they don't even know what His name is. And so they may be claiming to gather in His name, but they're really not. And you walk into that place and you're saying to yourself, God is supposed to be here, but I can't feel Him. I don't see Him working on the right or on the left. And it doesn't seem like the Lord is here. But friend, when you gather somewhere where people are there in the name of Jesus and they know who He is, and they know His name, that His name is above every name in heaven, above every name on earth, above every name beneath the earth, and His name is Jesus. When you come together in His name, you will feel His power. He will work. He said, I'll show up. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 24. The word of the Lord says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. Thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all the places where I record My name. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. We are a blessed people when we come together in the name of Jesus. Because when we gather in His name, He said, I'm going to come to you. And when I come to you, I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah.
That's why every time we get together and we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, his power begins to come down. Healings begin to take place. Depression has to go. People are lifted up out of despondency. God begins to do miracles and work in powerful ways. And it's all because we came together in his name. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you get into this word, and most of the times we don't even know the miracles that take place. We just come to the house of God, and we come together. We begin to worship, and the power of God begins to move. We see the glory of God fall. We're together here in his name. We know who he is and his glory and his power, and we worship, and we go home. Then pastor gets home, and the phone begins to ring. Pastor, God did a financial miracle for me today. Pastor, God healed my back today. Pastor, while I was worshiping, this happened. Pastor, when I got home, this happened. My Lord, why? Because when we come together in his name, he shows up. And where Jesus is, anything can happen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can't ever lose this. We can't ever let this die. No matter how much the world comes against us, no matter how much the religious world tells us that we're, what do you call it, dogmatic, single-minded, narrow-minded. You better believe I am. When it comes to God, I'm as narrow-minded as you can get, because there's only one. And you can't get much more narrow-minded than one. Oh, you need to open up a little bit. You need to loosen up so others can come in among you and feel comfortable. They're welcome to come in among me. But them feeling comfortable is not my objective. My objective is to gather in his name. Because when I gather in his name, anything can happen. Woo! He said, when you build your altar, do it in my name. When you give your sacrifice, do it in my name. When you give your burnt offering, do it in my name. When you give your peace offering, do it in my name. When you bring your sheep, do it in my name. When you bring your oxen, do it in my name. And bring it to the place I recorded my name. I will come there. I will bless you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Apostolics, don't you understand? The thing that separates us from everything else is the name.
You know, it's amazing. You go to these gatherings, and it might be a political council gathering. They'll call me up. Just got a phone call a couple of days ago. Pastor, we'd like for you to come and pray over the council. I said, I would be honored to do that as long as you understand that I will pray in the name of Jesus. And some of them say, well, we can't have that. We don't want to offend anybody. And I'll say, well, thank you for the offer, but I'm not the man you want. Call up somebody else that doesn't gather in the name. But if it's going to be a council meeting, I'm going to bring the name into it. If it's going to be a political meeting, I'm going to bring the name into it. If it's going to be a religious meeting, I'm going to bring the name into it. Why? That's the only way I can get him there. It's call him by his name. They try to dictate to our high school students and different ones that are giving speeches, valedictorian, salutatorian, and they tell them now, you can do it, and you can say your prayer, but you can't use, you can say God. Isn't this amazing? You can say God. You can say Father. You can say any other title you want, but they tell you, you can't say the name Jesus.
Would they ever stop and just listen to themselves? Just hear, why do you hate that name so much? I'll tell you why. Because when you say his name, he shows up. And when he shows up, conviction comes. When he shows up, morality comes. When he shows up, separation comes. When he shows up, godliness comes. And everybody starts feeling uncomfortable at the mention of his name. I'm glad I'm apostolic. I'm glad when we come together, the first thing out of our mouth is the name. Is the name. Is the name. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. So we gather in his name. Now, when we gather in his name, we preach in his name. Luke 24 and verse number 47. You know, the religious world today, and I try not to name one in particular, I just kind of collect it all together because they're all in the same big bucket anyway. The religious world today, they say they preach in his name. But when you really get down to their text, you find out that when you preach, Jesus said, there are certain things you must preach in my name. Because only my name can bring the result that you're looking for. Luke said in 24:47, Jesus is speaking to his disciples prior to his ascension, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Name, not just in Jerusalem, among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So Jesus said, when you get up and preach and you talk about remission of sins or repentance, you've got to do it in my name. And when you get up and preach and you talk about remission of sins, you've got to do it in my name. That's why Simon Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins. Why did Peter preach it that way? Because Jesus said, when you do this, do it in my name. Well, that's the main thing the religious world's done away with. 99% of the religious world today, when they preach baptism, they never use his name. They say you are to be baptized in Father and Son and Holy Ghost. That's not what Jesus said. He's not fickle. He's not forgetful like Pastor. He remembers what he said earlier. And that's why what he actually said was, go to Matthew 28:19. I know it's not on there, sweetie, but try to make it. That's the reason why he said, I know I messed you up. There it is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the... He didn't say baptizing the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, I have given you a name. John 5:43, he said, I've come in my Father's name. In Matthew 1:21, the name of the Son is Jesus. And in John 5:26, oh, I might be getting those mixed up, but they're in there. He said, and the Holy Ghost is going to be sent in my name. Go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is Jesus, folks. That's why John or Luke said to be baptized, remission of sins in his name. I thank God for a church that's not backing down. I thank God for a church that's not blending in. I thank God for a people who gather together in the name. Jesus shows up when we preach healing. It's in the name of Jesus. When we preach repentance, it's in the name of Jesus. When we preach baptism, it's in the name of Jesus. Us. Oh, come on, you're a little weak on that. Worship the Lord for a moment, will you? Don't leave me up here hanging. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 43. And when we give seed offering, we do it in Jesus' name. Thank you, baby. I receive that in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse number 43. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. How is remission of sins applied? Peter said to me, baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. Peter is talking here to the band of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And he's preaching to them, you want repentance? You want remission of sins? Listen, Peter's no longer preaching to Jews. He's no longer preaching to Levites or priests or Sadducees. No, he's now in the house of a Gentile. He's in a foreign area. He's in a place where they've never heard anything. They know nothing about this Jesus. They know nothing about this gospel. They know nothing. Only a man named Cornelius was hunger for God. And when Peter showed up, Peter understood one thing. If God's going to show up, I've got to preach in his name. And when I baptize him, I've got to baptize him in his name. Why? Because everything must be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Miracles are in his name. Look at your neighbor and say, we need to use his name more. Don't just pray. Get that name in there. It's not your fancy words that get the job done. It's not how hard you shake the head. You're going to sit up here, son. This is what comes with it. It's not whether you do this or this or this. Huh? This big old boy embarrassed. Can you imagine? Come here. Get down, boy. Don't make me look small. No, it's none of that. It's when you go, in the name of Jesus. Woo! And when you invoke that name, all of a sudden you begin to feel something from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. What is that? When you say his name, he shows up. Then you tell him what you want. Heal him, Lord, in your name. Do it, God. Anoint, Lord, in your name. And when you use that name, it begins to happen, because no devil in hell can resist the name, because God gave him a name above every name that is beneath the earth. No government on earth can resist the name, because God gave him a name above every name upon the earth. No power in heaven can resist the name, because God gave him a name above every name that is in heaven. We're blessed because we come together in that name. And if you're going somewheres and they're not all wrapped up in this name, you better run from that. Because if you're not wrapped up in his name, you're going to get wrapped up in your own name. If you're not wrapped up in his name, if it ain't about him, it's going to become about you. Acts chapter 3. Mark chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." Now, he didn't say, "Forbid him not, for there is no man that prays in my name." There's a lot of people using the name that doesn't know who he is. Some of them showed up. They thought they were going to copy old Paul. Yeah, seven of the sons of Stephen or Simon or whoever it was. Simon, I think. Wasn't it Simon? Stephen. Seven sons of Stephen, right? Come on, somebody. Anybody here? Okay. Who? Stephen. How do you say that in Brazil? Stavan. And they show up. And I like the way they do it. "We adjure you in the name Paul preached." Are you kidding me? And they said, "Paul, we know because he knows Jesus. Jesus, we know because he is Jesus. But who are you?" Jesus said, and they didn't do a miracle, did they? That devil came out, ripped all their clothes off, and sent them off running with the pigs. Jesus said, however, "If there's a man who does a miracle in my name." Why? Because there's certain criteria that has to be met in your life for the name to operate. Now, that man or woman may not have all truth, but I believe God is trying to lead them into all truth. But don't criticize anybody who's using the name of Jesus Christ and miracles are coming to pass. Just get on your knees and say, "Lord, help them. God, show them who you are completely," and the Lord will work in their life. How many of you knew God? How many of you loved God and walked with God and prayed to God and did things for God, but you still weren't saved? That'd be all of you. Some of you aren't raising your hand. You say, "Well, how's that possible? How can you pray to God, love God, know God, and not be saved?" Well, the Bible's all over it. Acts chapter 19. Paul comes to Ephesus and found certain disciples of John. Said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Because Jesus said, "If you believe upon me, as the scripture have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." So he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So it wasn't the fact that they have not believed. It's their believing needed a little tweaking. He said, and I love this, the way he throws it right in there. Then how were you baptized? We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? How were you baptized? It's incredible that Paul the Apostle linked Jesus' name baptism to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because anybody that was baptized in the name was in a service that was being preached in the name. And if the name was being preached, Jesus was there, which is the Holy Ghost. And if you've ever been in a service where Jesus was, you knew or found out or touched or felt the power of the Holy Ghost. So he said, well, if you've never heard of the Holy Ghost, how were you baptized? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism. John barely baptized you under the baptism, saying that you should believe upon him which should come after him, that is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus. And he laid hands upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. There's power in the name. We go to eighth chapter of the book of Acts, the revival in Philippi, right? I got to go back and read them books. And the Bible in was it Philippi? Where? No. Go to Acts chapter 8. I can't read that, son. Look at that. Who wrote that? I'm trying to save paper and make the words real tiny. Was it Antioch? Ephesus. Where did he rip Philip up from? He ripped Philip up from the eunuch. Oh, yeah. So where was he ripped from? That's the revival he came from. Acts 8. So he rips Philip up from this revival. What was this revival? The Bible says that James and John were there and they were preaching. Where? Was that Samaria? Yeah, it was Samaria. Antioch. Okay, I'm just kidding. I didn't know either. Yeah, it was Samaria. That's where it was. So he pulls Philip out of there, but not somewhere else. James and John goes to Samaria, and they're preaching, right? And what does the Bible say? The Bible says blinded eyes were opened. Miracles took place. Demons were cast out. Great joy. Had fallen upon all of them. They were rejoicing. They were feeling the power and the glory of God. And the word of the Lord says, however, not one of them had been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord. So what does God do? Well, the man with the keys. He grabs Peter, brings him there. Peter begins to preach. The Holy Ghost falls, and they're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what are you saying? I'm saying that you can feel God, be touched to God, be delivered, have devils cast out of you. You can be a crippled leg can be healed, deaf ears, your blinded eyes can be opened, cataracts can fall. God can do all kinds of miracles in your life. Miracles does not mean you're saved. There is a plan of salvation that must be followed, and it's in the name of Jesus. And you must follow that plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So miracles are done in his name, Acts 3:16. And in his name through faith, in his name hath this man been made strong. Acts 4 and 7. And when they had set them in the midst and asked, watch this. Everybody say, by what power? Now, who's asking this question? The council. Levites, not priests, Sadducees and Levites, the studiers of the law, the high elite of the council, not the lower priests, but the high priests. These are men that know the book, folks, and they understand the process of God. And look how they say it. By what power or by what name? Why did they say that? Because they know only the name can bring the power. We have got to learn to use the name of Jesus according to this book more than we have ever learned to use it before. A lot of us will use the name, but devils, they're not even worried. Why? Because we broke every rule. Because we didn't take the time to learn how God wants us to use his name. And when we use that name according to the word of God, there is not a power in hell that can resist it or stand against it. And when they had set them in the midst, the disciples, of course, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? The name invokes the power. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. What? That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They weren't worried about doctrine. They weren't worried about preaching. They had all kinds of false doctrines in Israel. They had all kinds of preaching going on in Israel. Everything that you could think of, every idol, every false god. Oh, they weren't worried about none of those. Oh no, none of that bothered them. But when someone opened up their mouth and began to say the name of Jesus, we don't care if you preach. Listen, that's the same way this world is right now. We want you to pray, but don't pray in that name. We don't care if you preach, but don't preach in that name. We don't care if you do things, but don't bring that name with you. Don't put it on a billboard. Don't put it on a sign. Don't speak it. Don't say it. Do anything, but don't say the name. Why? Because when you say the name of Jesus, the demons' ears begin to scream in pain at the name of Jesus. Every disease cowards at the name of Jesus. Every power of hell runs at the name. Come on, church. Let's become a people of the name. No wonder God calls us the people of the name. I'm not going to hold us much longer. Look at your neighbor and say, the authority is in the name. Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Luke 10 and 17, real quick. And the seven returned, and they were all excited. They said, Lord, devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus, I like his answer. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But how is that done? It's done through the name. You can't do it with personality. You can't do it with education. You can't do it by any other means. The only way to do it is the name. And the beautiful thing about that is whether you're educated or uneducated, you can use the name. Whether you're rich or poor, you can use the name. No matter where you're from, country, creed, or background, you can use the name. Praise God. Praise God. Acts 16 and 18 says, and this did she many days,
But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. Now, this is the amazing thing about this story, is the way that verse starts out. After many days. Now, Paul had the name from day one. On day one, when that woman was bugging him, he could have stopped and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. But it was only after it aggravated him so much that he just couldn't function anymore that he finally turned and cast that demon out. And I said, Lord, what's up with that? He says, I don't know. What's up with you? Because you do the same thing. It's not till that devil has bugged you and bugged you and bugged you and made you mad and angry that finally somewheres after many days you finally stop and take the time to use my name and cast that devil off and take care of that situation. Why did you wait? I don't know. He says, what's up with you? I mean, that's just crazy, but we all do it. We put up with it until it bothers us. I don't want to hurt us, but I'm going to tell you why. Because it's still about us. And until we get uncomfortable, and until our little bird nest has the feathers plucked out, we don't bother using the name. We don't bother taking authority in the kingdom. Because everything's still okay with us. Why not do it from day one and just start taking authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ? And I think we'll be amazed at what God will do with the rest of the day. Now, having this name, and I'm closing with this, having this name is a wonderful thing, but he also makes it very plain that we will suffer in his name. Not only just because of his name, but in his name. When you work in his name and you use his name, there is going to be repercussions. And God is not going to show up and deliver you from every bump and bruise. Because he's going to use them to strengthen you and harden you. Men that work hard are able to reach out with their, men that work hard with their hands are able to reach out and get things and do things with their hands that my little Bible page turning hands could never do. Because their hands are calloused. They pick up a horseshoe and they can hold it. I pick it up and drop it. And they go, hot, huh? I say, no, it just don't take me long to look at a horseshoe. No, it's hot. I reach in that microwave and grab that baked potato. And there better not be nobody behind me because it's flying, son. It is coming out of these hands. And that's how some of us handle adversity. Because we've never, ever let God put calluses in our life. That certain devil, there it ought to be, listen. Certain devils, it ought to be that we just handle. They don't burn our hands anymore. They don't hurt our feelings anymore. We don't get it. We're over that. We're beyond that. We're calloused. I don't mean in a bad way. We're calloused in a good way concerning those things. And when those devils come around, we go, are you kidding me? And we just cast them off to the side. Now, that don't mean that you're not going to come up against enemies that you can't handle. We always need the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of us, folks, we've been living for God for years, and the little bitty, tiniest demons still make us fall on the ground crying and hollering. What, did you hear what they said about me?
Well, if it's true, repent. If it's not, let it go. What does it matter? Well, I'll tell you what it matters. You're still worried about you. That's why it matters. I learned a long time ago, your life will speak much louder than a gossiper's voice could ever scream. If you'll just keep walking and keep living, the day will come when they will be exposed and everybody will know that they were lies and you're just going to keep on serving God. How many of you know, as long as the devil knows he can get your goat, I think that's an old saying from somewheres, he can get your goat, he'll keep picking that wound. He'll keep picking that wound. He knows what buttons to push in your life. Well, it's time to get over those buttons and grow in God. And get strong in God. And let him put calluses in your spiritual life so that you can wade through these little things and get on to bigger things. I love it. I love what David said to the king. He said, when I was back on the sheep, I know I can take this giant. Because I was back on the sheep field. A bear came. And a lion came. And I killed him with my bare hands. God gave me the strength. Because David allowed God to strengthen him, he didn't run home to Daddy and say, Daddy Jesse, and say, Daddy Jesse, I can't go out in that field. There's lions out there. I can't go watch them sheep out there. There's bears out there. No, he just picked up his staff, went over there, and whacked that thing across the head. I don't think so. I don't know how much he fought or wrestled or what he did. I know he killed him, though, because God's anointing came on him. And the Lord wants us to get to the place where lions and bears, oh, my, that they're just easy to kill. And when you do that, you'll have the faith to take on the giants that come in your life. Let's stand. Let's stand. Look at your neighbor and say, in his name. So I didn't even read a verse on this, but the word of the Lord makes it plain. We will suffer in his name. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He's speaking to Ananias. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Speaking of Saul at this time, who later becomes Paul. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. To do what? To bear my name before the Gentiles. Now, Simon Peter already proved the name works with Gentiles. He already proved that. But God needed someone to go and bear his name, not only before Gentiles, but before kings and the children of Israel. He said, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, you need to listen to Pastor. We are swiftly, very quickly, coming up on the time that if you use the name of Jesus, you're going to be severely persecuted. And we are swiftly coming upon the time that this apostolic church that preaches in this name, and we're dogmatic, and we tell you, yes, the word says you must be baptized in Jesus' name. I love the way my daughter was telling me just a few days ago. She was witnessing to a college student, and all she did was read the scripture. He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And that guy stopped and looked at her and said, are you telling me that I have to be baptized to be saved? And she said, I didn't tell you anything. That's the answer. I didn't tell you anything. That same God you say you believe in, that's the guy. That's him talking right there. But we are swiftly coming. We are swiftly coming upon the time when we are going to be persecuted for his name. You're not going to be persecuted because you're religious. You're not going to be persecuted because you believe in a God or a deity. They don't care. But you cannot speak that name. Because that's where the power is. And that's where the authority is. So when you join this church, I don't mean this local assembly. I'm talking about God's church. When you join his church, when you become the people of the name, as the Bible says, you're going to suffer. But it's worth it. Paul the Apostle said, I got a glimpse. It was just a peek. That's all it was. And all of my suffering. And you better read Paul the Apostle's suffering. Because he suffered more than all of us combined. And he said, all of my suffering could not compare. Not to heaven. To the glimpse. To just the peak that I got of what's coming. All of my suffering cannot compare. So prepare yourself. We will suffer. But when you study this scripture, we see how they beat the apostles. It was always in for the name. It was never about the healing. You know why? Because the Bible talks about healing. God said, if they're lepers, bring them, do the sacrifice, I'll heal them. The Bible's full of promises from God about healing. It wasn't about the lame walking or the deaf hearing or the blind seeing. It was the fact that it was done in the name of Jesus. They said, what power or name did you do this in? And then I love the one where they go to the guy and they say, who healed you? He said, Jesus. He said, oh, he's a heretic. He's a devil. And he said, heretic or devil, I don't know. All I know, once I was blind and now I see. Woo! Let's get in the name. Pray. Ask God to teach you in your personal devotion to lead you on how to use his name. And circumstances are going to come up in your life, and the Lord's going to whisper into your spirit. He's going to say, now's the time to use my name. If you'll use my name, I'll do a miracle. You know our problem? I know. I've had you standing. I promise you. One more thing. We're done. You know what our problem is, Brother Bolin? We try to use the name on one another. That's what we do. We gather in this building and we all walk around. Jesus. And we just use it on one another. Now, I'm not knocking that. We come here for healing and comfort and support and all that. But you want to know where the name will really manifest itself? Because when I pray for you, God, deliver her from her trial. He goes, I am not. I put her there. I'm not bringing her out. I'm bringing her through. Because when I get her on the other side, there's 9 people out there that she's going to be able to witness to over the next 10 years. And they're going to receive the Holy Ghost and get baptized in my name because of this trial. So he really wants to say, shut up, you're misusing my name. You think my name's designed just to cure and heal and do everything good. No, my name is designed to bring me glory. And I only heal and deliver and set free when it brings me glory. And I leave in bondage when it brings me glory. That's why as children of God, we have to be submitted to Him. Because whether He delivers me out of the fiery furnace or not and puts me in, doesn't matter. I'm His. I'm walking with Him. But you bring that name out of this building into the world, and there are dying, hurting people that God is just waiting to show His name in their life and to bring deliverance and healing. Why was this man born blind? Did his parents sin? No. No. He was born blind so that on this day, in my name, I could receive glory. To bring glory to the Father. Okay, we're closing. I'm sorry. All my weak-kneed people are sitting down. I can't see it. Thank you. They're your thermometers. They're your like, okay, Pastor, you closed 5 minutes ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, it's 8:22. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray the Lord helps us to use His name. Father, we come to you right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this mighty name that you have given us. Lord, this overcoming name, this healing, powerful, delivering name. We thank you for it, Lord. But we know that your word teaches us, God, how to use your name so that it is effective in the lives of others. And we're asking you, Lord, this week coming, God, tomorrow and the days of this week, Lord, and the days to come, Lord, that you will bring people into our life. God, that we will be able to use the name and financial miracles will come. Healing will come. Deliverance will come. Marriages will be restored. Children will be set free. God, you're going to do it. People will be saved and come to the house of God. Lord, we come before you right now in the Holy Ghost and we ask you to do that, God. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Teach us in your word as we study your name. Oh, God, how to apply it to bring glory, to believe in your name, to let the word be in us and us in you, and to use the name to be obedient in your commandments and to pray in your will, in your name. Father, these are the things that we ask. Help us, God. We want to be effective. We want to go to the lost, and we want the name of Jesus to be glorified in their name. We want their lives to be changed, oh God. Help us to bring your name out of these four walls. Help us not to be intimidated. Help us not to be fearful. Help us not to be doubtful, but to use the name of Jesus and to leave it up to you. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are that mighty God. It is your name. You will perform because you are God. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise right now. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you. If we lift you up, all men will be drawn unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, the power is in the name. I love you. God bless you. You're the most wonderful people in the world. You're dismissed.